Who gives this woman to this man? Well, on behalf of Sydney and Dave and their families, welcome to all of you as we may gather for this special occasion of their wedding this afternoon. Let's come to God in prayer. Great and gracious God, it is with thanksgiving and praise that we come near to you this afternoon for this special occasion of the wedding of Sydney and Dave. We thank you, Lord, for them. You have made them. You have preserved them in life. You have blessed them, Lord, with their families through the years of growing and being trained. You have brought them by your grace to confess you as Savior and Lord. And now also you have brought them to this moment where they would pledge themselves to each other for all of their earthly life. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them richly in this hour, enabling them to repeat their vows, and then also from then on to live out those vows. We recognize, O Lord, that we are insufficient in ourselves to be faithful to any word that we give, and we pray, therefore, that you will preserve them, and that your faithfulness will enable them to be faithful through their life. We thank you for all who have joined us this afternoon, for family and friends, for those who may be listening online or viewing online. We pray for them, and we pray that all together, Lord, we may rejoice in your goodness, and we may rejoice above all in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we have just sung, and of his saving work, even for sinners such as us. We pray that even in this wedding, he may be in the foreground, and we may give you glory and praise in and through him. In his name we pray. Amen. We are gathered here as congregation with family and friends to witness the confirmation of the marriage of Sydney Michelle Sinke and David Jordan Pennings. It is good that marriage be confirmed in such a gathering and that God's blessing be asked to rest upon it. The Lord God reveals to us in his word that he has created man and woman and destined them for each other, giving them the gift and calling of marriage, and promising his blessing upon it. Scripture teaches us that God, our Father, who created heaven and earth and all that is therein, created man in his image. Male and female, he created them. He also said that it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. But this excellent gift of God has been blemished by man's fall into sin. And yet God, who is great in mercy, has been pleased to restore the unity of marriage and to confirm his blessing. For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ has honored marriage as an institution of his heavenly Father by his presence and miracles at the marriage at Cana. He also condemned the breaking of the marriage bond when he said, therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. In the apostolic teaching of the New Testament, marriage is recognized as a gift of God, sanctified through the Word of God and through prayer. The Apostle calls the unity in marriage a great mystery, which he relates to the unity between Christ and the Church. For these reasons, the married state ought not to be lightly or thoughtlessly entered into, but with reverence and thankfulness and in the fear of the Lord. The bond of marriage for all of life may thus be a matter of joy, in which man and wife receive love and faithfulness from each other, assistance and dedication. Because of sin, married people also experience much trouble and affliction. Nevertheless, you may, as he has promised, be assured of the grace of the Lord and the help of the Lord. And that you in your marriage may live according to the commandments of God, and trusting in his promises, you ought to know for what reasons God has instituted marriage. In the first place, marriage is instituted in order that man and wife, joined together in true love, may belong to one another in joy and may faithfully help each other in all things which belong to earthly and eternal life. In the second place, through marriage, the human race and the church of the Lord are built. If it pleases God to give you children, you are to raise and guide them in the knowledge and fear of the Lord. Further, let every man live with his wife and let every woman live with her husband in accordance with the will of God, and with a clear conscience, so that our bodies, as temples of the Holy Spirit, be not defiled. Next, you are to hear from the Word of God how you are to behave towards each other in the married state. The man, Dave, has been appointed by God to be the head of his wife, and he shall love his wife, even as Christ loves his church. He will lead her and comfort her, serve her and protect her, even as Christ is the consolation and assistance to his church. The wife, Sydney, shall be subject to her husband, even as the church is subject to Christ. She shall love and serve her husband, follow him, care for the family with him, and display the adornment of a meek and quiet spirit. According to the commandment of God, you shall both do your work with faithfulness and dedication. You shall also understand that your family is part of a larger community and that you have a calling with respect to church and society. Live in the fear of the Lord. Remember that you are heirs of the grace of life. Be forgiving and live together in wisdom, that your prayers be not hindered. So then, David and Sydney, having understood that God has instituted marriage and what he commands you, do you declare before God and his holy church that it is your sincere intention to live in this holy state after this manner? And do you desire that your marriage be now solemnized? What is your answer, David and Sydney? The Lord God confirm your intention which he has given, and may the beginning of your marriage be in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's now time for you to say your vows to each other. I, David Jordan Pennings.
I, David Jordan Pennings.
Do solemnly declare before God.
Do solemnly declare before God.
And this is Holy Church.
And this is Holy Church.
That I take to myself.
That I take to myself.
And acknowledge as my wife.
And acknowledge as my wife.
Sydney Michelle Sinkey, here present.
Sydney Michelle Sinkey, here present.
I promise that I will.
I promise that I will.
With the gracious help of God.
With the gracious help of God.
Love, honor, and maintain you.
Love, honor, and maintain you.
And live with you in the holy bonds of marriage.
And live with you in the holy bonds of marriage.
According to God's ordinance.
According to God's ordinance.
I promise to be your husband.
I promise to be your husband.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
For richer or for poorer.
For richer or for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
And I promise never to forsake you.
And I promise never to forsake you.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
And until death do us part.
And until death do us part.
I, Sydney Michelle Sinkey.
I, Sydney Michelle Sinkey.
Do solemnly declare before God.
Do solemnly declare before God.
And this is Holy Church.
And this is Holy Church.
That I take to myself.
That I take to myself.
And acknowledge as my husband.
And acknowledge as my husband.
David Jordan Pennings, here present.
David Jordan Pennings, here present.
I promise that I will.
I promise that I will.
With the gracious help of God.
With the gracious help of God.
Love, honor, and obey you in all things lawful.
Love, honor, and obey you in all things lawful.
And live with you in the holy bonds of marriage.
And live with you in the holy bonds of marriage.
According to God's ordinance.
According to God's ordinance.
I promise to be your wife.
I promise to be your wife.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
And I promise never to forsake you.
And I promise never to forsake you.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
And until death do us part.
And until death do us part.
In accordance with the ordinances of God and by the civil authority vested upon me by the province of Ontario, I now pronounce you David and Sydney, husband and wife. The Father of all mercies, who by his grace called you to this holy state of marriage, bind you in true love and faithfulness and grant you his blessing. Amen. It's now time for you to exchange rings. Dave, do you give this ring to Sydney as a token of your constant faithfulness and abiding love? And Sydney, do you give this ring to Dave as a token of your constant faithfulness and abiding love?
I do.
Dave, you may kiss your bride. Hear now from the gospel how firm the bond of marriage is, as described in Matthew 19, verse 3 to 9. The Pharisees also came to Jesus, tempting him and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let not man separate.' They said to him, "Why did Moses then command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." Believe these words of Christ and be certain and assured that your Lord God has joined you together in this holy state. You are therefore to receive whatever befalls you therein with patience and thanksgiving as from the hand of God. And so all things will turn to your advantage and salvation. Amen. Considering, however, that we have no good of ourselves and that all good gifts come from above, from the Father of lights, you are asked in this moment to kneel before the face of the Lord so that we can pray with you and for you. And what we'll do at this time is turn in our programs to the Psalter number 436. And you find that in the program, and we'll sing at this time only stanza 1. Lift up your hands in prayer, draw nigh, and so on. And during this time, the couple will kneel. Wedding party will be seated. After verse 1, we will pray, and then I will ask you to stand for the singing of stanza 2. Let us pray. Merciful God and Father, who has brought this bride and bridegroom, Sydney and David, together and united them through the bond of marriage, we thank you for the blessing given to this couple that they may go through life together under your care. Grant them this grace that through the love of Christ they may more and more grow towards each other, bound together in the unity of the true faith. Grant them the strength of your Holy Spirit, enabling them as husband and wife to live together in their family according to your holy will. Grant them your favor that should it please you to give them children, they may raise them in accord with the promises and demands of your covenant in the instruction, discipline, and love of Christ. Sanctify the tie that binds them to their blessing, to the edifying of your church, as a witness to others, and to the glory of your holy name. Hear us, Father of all mercies, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, our Lord. In his name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And before Dave and Sydney, I allow you to rise, let me just impress upon you the significance of this moment, and even more the significance of this posture. You are kneeling, and it reflects dependence. And you need to go forward in dependence on the Lord. Never forget that. And the Lord will bless you. You may rise. Hear now the promise of God from Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. For you shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine by the sides of your house, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Before I let you go to your seat, I want to present to you a gift from the congregation, a wedding Bible. And these Bibles are always beautifully inscribed by one of our members of the congregation, Lisa Brower, and she puts your names in there and the wedding date, your wedding text, and you have your witnesses sign after. But of course, as beautiful as this is, it's the rest of the book that is so valuable. And we give this book to you, this Bible to you as congregation, in the conviction that the word of the Lord is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We pray that you will experience that this book will often be open in your home, and together you will read it, and together you will seek God's way for your life, wherever he leads you, in whatever path you must go. Congratulations from the Vineland congregation, and the Lord's blessing. As we draw near to worship the Lord, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, and in Christ Jesus is an overflowing fountain of good. Amen. Congregation, receive the greeting of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. And I invite you to open God's Word with me to Psalm 34, the book of Psalms, and to Psalm number 34. In our Pew Bibles, you can find it on page 496. Psalm 34, and we will read this psalm together. Psalm 34, the word of the Lord, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Let's seek God's face in prayer and for his blessing as we meditate together. Lord our God, we give thanks for your word. Your word endures forever and ever. And what a privilege that we may read it together in this moment, and that we may hear it now expounded. And we ask, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit will help in the preaching and in the receiving of your word, and that you will seal it to our souls in a way that we are transformed by means of it. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The text for this service is from this psalm, verse 3, Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And dear Dave and Sydney, together with your family and friends and members of various congregations, just hearing this text, the obvious connection is the word together. I mean, the obvious connection to this moment. Let us exalt his name together. When we hear that word together, well, as we know, that's what today is all about. Because the essence of marriage is the fact that you get to do life together. The two of you came into this building single. You really did. You even came in different entrances to this building. But you will leave together. And that's why marriage is so good. At least when it is well, when things are well. Then the privilege is that you get to live together and work together and make a home and a life together. It's all together. Yes, and also worship. That too. That's the point now. Again, when things are right and well, you worship together. Now, to be clear, it's not only the married who worship the Lord with others. Part of what belonging to a church is all about is that we are a church family. And so Sunday by Sunday, wherever you belong, to whatever congregation, and really through all of life, you worship together. And so ultimately, these are words of one believer, we can say, to another. And throughout the ages, and in every place, let it be the way we learn to speak to each other and to encourage each other. All true Christians, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. How good when that's our heart, when that's our life. But Dave and Sydney, this being your wedding day, and this being the text also that you requested that I preach briefly to you, let's consider these words as they relate to you now as a married couple. The fact that you chose this text says something about your heart, and we are glad for that. But to help you and to challenge all of us, let's ponder these words this afternoon. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. One thing we have to mention is the focus that we find. That's the first major point. The focus. Very clearly, David's focus is on the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. Let us exalt His name. And if we think about that, David's focus being on the Lord, we have to say, don't we, how rare that is. I mean, to have a focus like this, just in life, but also in married life, how rare this is, at least in terms of the world at large, in terms of man, even as he is in Adam. Isn't it true that instead of the Lord and His name, we tend to be about me and my name, or in marriage now, us and our name? Don't we have to say that that is what we are all like fundamentally? That is what the natural man is like. Utterly and continually preoccupied with himself or with themselves. Oh, let's magnify me, is the creed of so many. Or let's exalt our name together. It's the old spirit of Babel, isn't it? When the people set about building together a great tower and they said, let us make a name for ourselves. And it was displeasing to the Lord. And He put an end to it. But it's the tendency of every one of us. And the reason is that we are sinners. We learn that when we go back to what happened in the Garden of Eden with the fall into sin and Adam and Eve rebelling against the Lord and really choosing in their fall to exalt themselves and their name over and above the Lord. And it ended in disaster. And it meant exiting paradise. And it meant coming under the curse of the living God. And it's that way now in the world in which we live. It's how we come into this world even with that rebellious nature, that self-exalting spirit. And if we're just observant in the world all around us, and if we're somewhat aware of what lives in our own heart, then we know that this is true. Our default is to put ourselves on the throne. We are number one. We are what matters, or I am what matters. And let everyone else live to serve me. And then we do that as individuals, and then we get married, and many times we just make a mess of it as a result. Or if we learn in a measure to work together, we can still so often miss the point and make our marriage all about us. Look at our life. Look at our home. Look at our success. For how many people, that's all they are about. And it's because it's what sinners do. And so when David says what he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name. This is striking. This stands out. When David says this, when anyone says this, when a married couple says this, then we have to acknowledge that's rare. But having said that, don't we also have to say, if we're listening carefully to the Word of God, it's not just rare, but it's right. It's right. Worshiping the Lord and having our focus on Him and on His name, even if it is rare, it is so right. Why do we have to say that? Why is it right for our focus in life, also in marriage, that our focus be on the Lord and His name? Well, isn't the answer this, that the Lord Himself is so great and so glorious. So it is fitting, it is most fitting, or it is of course right that He be the focus. If we think of him as Creator God, the Lord who made heaven and earth and all that is therein, he formed and fashioned every creature. You and me too, we are brought into this world by his sovereign, almighty hand. And whether people want to acknowledge it or not, it's a fact. We are all fearfully and wonderfully made by the living God. And simply that reality should bring him into focus and make us say, how great thou art indeed. But think too of all his attributes, how he is wise, how he is mighty, how he is good. Think too of his activities in this world, how he is upholding and preserving all of creation, how he is ever ruling and reigning so that nothing happens by chance. He is the sovereign God. And of course, there's mystery in that. We can never fully understand it all, but the point is, he being who he is, of course, then he is to be in focus. But maybe the most important reason why it is right that the Lord is in focus is not simply that he is creator or keeper, but also and especially think how he reveals himself as Savior of sinners. Do we not have to say this is God's greatest glory? And this is that thing that crowns him most of all and makes him have to appear as in the forefront of all. How he's a free and gracious and almighty Savior is that point that David is highlighting in the text. It's clear in the way he refers to the Lord or Jehovah or Yahweh. In other words, the everlasting covenant Savior God. So just the name that David uses for the Lord brings into view his saving work. But the whole psalm it highlights that too. The whole psalm is a testimony to the Lord, time after time rescuing David and everyone like David who learns to call on the name of the Lord. Verse 7 of the psalm, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and he saves such as have a contrite spirit. And the point is, he's a Savior God. And the psalmist David knew something of that. And now today it's all the clearer, isn't it? In the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ and in his resurrection. It's all the clearer in the gospel call, in the gospel invitation. Whoever calls on his name shall be saved from sin, from death, from hell. Whoever turns to the Lord Jesus Christ will be delivered from all of that and instead given everlasting life and righteousness, all freely purchased by Christ himself. Is this not what the Bible teaches? And is it not right then that not our name, never our sin-stained name, but always his name, his perfect and glorious name, is to be the focus of our lives, and especially in terms of our worship, whom we revere, whom we serve. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. David's focus is on God and his name. And David wants that to be what binds him together with other people. And that's right. It's so right. Thinking generally, of course, all his friendships with every connection with others. But now let's think also of your marriage. Is it not right then that in marriage, husband and wife focus on the Lord who made you, who keeps you, who alone can save you? Of course, you care for each other, you serve each other, you help each other. And there is life to live and bills to pay and blessings to enjoy, and all of that is part of marriage. But in terms of the focus, our text is helping you. Remember how it connects even to the book that we studied in the premarital class, Married for God was the title. And learning to say then to each other, come, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name, together. So our text reminds you of the focus that there needs to be. But secondly, notice in our text the intensity that is reflected. Because David doesn't merely say, praise the Lord with me. Let us praise his name together. Of course, that's the point. But David doesn't say it like that. He's He's more intense. He's more vivid. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Do you hear the intensity? Do you hear the zeal, the fervor, the energy in these words? David's desire is that he and his fellow worshipers, with all their heart and soul and life, may give praise to the living God. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. That means let us say together how great he is and glorious. And let us exalt his name, lift it up in praise and adoration. There's intensity in the text. And what it means is that for David, he is so into this. Not only is David's focus on the Lord, but David's heart and mind and soul, David's whole spirit and life are burning in devotion to the living God. It's what he thinks about. It's what he gives himself to. And he's that way for himself, and he wants others to come with him and to join him in that intensity. And if we think now just of you two, David and Sydney, and your marriage together and this text as your text, in what ways can this intensity be reflected in your life, in your married life? In what ways can you magnify and exalt the Lord together? Well, isn't one thing for sure that when this is you, you will prioritize the public worship of the Lord. It will be your number one priority, even, to be those who join with God's people in praising God as much as possible. You won't leave your place empty on the Lord's day. And not just that, but you will come and you will participate. You will sing and you will pray and you will hear. And you will engage and you will love it all. Yes, it will just be something the Pennings do. It will be part of who you are. Is that not how we especially magnify and exalt his name? But something else, what about in all your conduct and lifestyle and decisions? Isn't to magnify the Lord like this and to exalt his name in this way, doesn't it mean to live godly and holy lives? Truly and with all your heart, to want to be Christian in your home, in your relationships, in your family life, to be Christian in your work, to be Christian. So that means not living for you, but for God, for his Son, for his Christ, and according to his word, and in a way that pleases him and praises him. Will this not include also the way you speak to each other, and the way you seek to be patient with one another, and to bear with each other at times? Will it not include, too, your intimacy and your finances and your hospitality? Really everything, all of it offered up ultimately to God and to his praise. And will it not also include the way you walk through trials and troubles together? As much as that may be God's way for you at times, ever and always to honor him. So that's never an afterthought, but the great concern and what you think about and talk about, and together in your devotion time, what you pray, what you read together. Again, let us magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. That's intense. And so it's clear in our life when we make public worship our priority. It's clear when our whole life is offered up to God and for his glory. And will it also show this intensity in our commitment to the witness of God's name in this world, and our zeal to see lost people turn to the Lord and be saved? Isn't this a key way to magnify the Lord and to exalt his name? When we pray and work, to be able to tell others about our Lord God as creator and keeper, and above all as Savior, whom they so desperately need. So that as couple, as married couple together, you live for this and you pursue this. As you build your life together, you're thinking about how do we pray and work so that others may be drawn together with us to magnify the living God, supporting different ministries, maybe, or through your own personal witness. Not that we can save anyone, we know that. Not that we can succeed in persuading anyone, but to magnify the Lord and exalt his name means to try. Means to try. Oh, says David, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. How intensely David speaks, and he's a challenge to all of us. The two of you also, is this what you want to reflect? This focus and this intensity. Well, how do we get to this? Asking that question takes us to the last thing to say, and that's the secret to it all. The secret to worshiping the Lord together. You know what the secret is? It's very simple. It's learning individually and personally to worship the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. See, David can say that because David has learned to worship the Lord. And David has learned that through the work of the Holy Spirit, showing to him his own poor and needy state as a sinner, and at the same time the Lord's mercy and grace and his great saving work. In fact, David himself has come to experience how helpless he is in himself, and how he needs the Lord to rescue him and deliver him. And not only that, but David has experienced that deliverance. He writes so plainly of that in this psalm. Of course, there was a particular situation that drove him to write this psalm. But he reflects beyond this psalm. He says in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And then in verse 6, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him. And see, it is out of that personal experience of the Lord's deliverance, that personal experience as reflected also in learning to cry out to God in all your need, as you find it again and again in yourself, learning to seek him in all sorts of trouble, including our greatest trouble, and then to experience the Lord's coming as he does through his word and spirit, and by way of his son also, for the sake of his son, saving and blessing all those who seek him. Is this not what it means to be a Christian? To confess you are a poor man, a poor woman, to see that, and so to seek the rich God, and to receive his care, and to be delivered by him, and to be saved forever. And it is out of that personal experience of God's grace, and likewise an ever-deepening relationship with him, it is when you are personally worshiping the Lord, that is when you can learn to worship him together. Let me say it like this. How do you have a good and godly marriage? One that honors the Lord and is to his glory and praise. How do you do this married thing now that you've started? How do you do it so that it's good, truly, day after day and year after year? Well, the answer is you don't concentrate on the marriage, first of all. You concentrate on the Lord. And I mean now each of you, individually and personally. David, seek to be a godly man. And Sydney, a godly woman. Seek in that way, each of you, to be true worshipers of the Lord. And as you do, as you grow in that, the more you can also do it together. Because then you can say to each other with integrity, oh, magnify the Lord with me. I'm learning that. Maybe I'm struggling in that, but I'm seeking to grow in that. Join me in that. And you can help each other. And you can develop together in worshiping the Lord. See, that's the secret to it all. Personally knowing and growing in God for yourself. And that's for all of us, congregation, whether we are married or not. We are making special application to this new marriage. But the secret here is really a point for all of us. And in fact, we can say it is a crucial point. Because it is what is needed to enjoy the ultimate marriage. And now I'm thinking of the everlasting wedding, the wedding of Christ and his bride, his church. What's key to that? It's learning to bow before Christ in this life. It's learning to become a worshiper of the living God. It's learning to trust in the Savior for the forgiveness of your sin. And looking for the day then when he will come to marry his whole church. And to bring her into the new and glorious world. Yes, there, amid all of the splendor and the beauty of the renewed creation, there to worship God, triune forever and ever. What that will be, who can fully say? It will be amazing beyond words. And if it's so that you are here this afternoon and not yet truly part of God's people. Well, you need to be. And on behalf of the church and in God's name, I may invite you and call you. Oh, magnify the Lord with us. And let us exalt his name together. Yes, join us in seeking the living God in Jesus Christ, so that with one heart and with one voice, we may forever and ever live and praise his name. Amen. Let us pray together. Help us, O Lord, not just to hear these well-known words, but to own them for ourselves. We pray that we ourselves may have come into this worship of you through personal faith in Jesus Christ, and that we may live then in our families and in our church communities, and with whomever we meet, we may live seeking for each and all to join with us in the worship of your name. Forgive us for so many times exalting our own name, individually or in our family life. Keep us from that, O Lord. It will go nowhere. We know that from Scripture. And we pray to be delivered. We pray that we may see Jesus Christ in all of his glory as presented to us in the gospel, and that the more he captures also our hearts, the more we may dedicate our lives to magnifying and exalting you in him. Bless that also for Dave and Sydney here as they begin. And we pray, Lord, that as long as you give them to live together, through whatever way you may take them, this may be the point to which they come back to again and again. Oh, let's magnify the Lord together, and let's exalt his name together. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you that we can have it still in all these strange times in which we live. We pray that you will bless further the afternoon and also the celebrations of the evening. We pray to be kept in your tender care from harm, from danger, also from sin and evil. And we ask you, Lord, to hear our prayer, all for Jesus' sake. Amen. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. This time I'd have all of you be seated except the couple and your two attendants. We'll have the signing of the marriage bands and the registry. So, Dave and Sydney, you can come forward. The congregation can rise, please. And as we prepare for the presentation of the couple, let me just explain how this will work. The couple will exit, and the wedding party and their families, there will be a reception line just outside the church under the canopy. And the idea is that you go out the right doors and you greet the couple and their families as per your comfort level with the COVID issues, and then come back in to the other doors and into the hall for refreshments. And then whether in the hall or outside, you're free to enjoy that together. So let me now present to you Mr. and Mrs. David and Sydney Pennings.